Returning, if you will, to the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And while you're turning there, we express again our appreciation to be here with you. As we've sung these beautiful songs of Zion and the prayer, we just are so delighted and thankful to have this opportunity to worship God. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them there, Matthew 19, verse 2. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and said unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. We find in this criteria set before us qualifications and guidelines to holy matrimony. In verses 3 through 5, no less than 8 times you would find male, female, father, mother, man, man, wife, wife. There are some parameters in God's holy writ to establish holy matrimony. Have ye not read? When God established a home, he established it for no other purpose than for man's happiness. It was God that performed the first marital ceremony. It was God that gave that first bride into marriage. And God says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. They two are twain that shall be one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The home today is under severe attack. But the Bible is reading as it had read from the beginning. In order to establish the home, the first criteria that God says that there must be a biological difference. It was God that established holy matrimony. It was God that says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ also the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. It was God says, so let the wives be in subjection to that headship, verse 24. It was God that says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy without blemish. So also men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 28. We see from those passages and several others, in order to establish marriage, there must be a biological difference. Now, when that rests upon our minds, I know the mind begins to quiver because of what we are facing today. Let me explain to you as carefully as I can that the government is not a human institution. It's a divine institution that humans supposed to run in behalf of God Almighty. It was God that said through the penman of Daniel, in Daniel 2 and verse 28, that there is a God in heaven. Daniel continued to say two chapters later, and verse 17, it is God that ruleth in the kingdoms and in the affairs of men. Two chapters minor, and verse 21, it is God that gave the world kings. In 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 5, it is God that established kingdoms. In Judges 2 and verse 18, it is God that raised up judges. In Acts 13 and verse 20, it is God that gave the world judges. In Ezra 7 and verse 25, it is God that gave the world magistrates and judges. No wonder the Apostle Paul tell Titus to obey magistrates and be ready unto every good work, Titus 3 and verse 1. No wonder the messianic prophet Isaiah says that the government is on his shoulders, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Yes, we ought to submit to those powers. The powers that be, they're ordained of God. There is no powers but of God. Romans 13 and verse 1. We have to realize and recognize it is God that established the government, and the humans are to run the government in behalf of God. That brings us to our next point. Is there anything in God's book that establishes or says otherwise? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, absolutely not. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, the home is under attack. And from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, you will see the argument for home, government, Old Testament, the establishment of the church, and the New Testament, the church, and regulating morality. In Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7, that's exactly what you would see. The last five chapters of the book of Judges, chapter 17 through chapter 21. The home, worship, government, and morality. So goes the home, goes everything else. It's so very sad that now with same-sex marriages, my question is, can by God's law a man practice homosexuality? And if we can answer that question, then we can answer the marital question. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, a careful study of the scriptures, that practice is condemned in every dispensation. I call your attention to Genesis 19. Here is a passage or a narrative that perhaps all of us might be familiar with. Genesis 19 is condemned by God. In Jude 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and like cities about them, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Jude 7. In that second dispensation, I call your attention to Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as thou do with womankind. Why? Because it is an abomination unto God. I trust, hope, and I pray for your assignment in the next few days to carefully study that word abomination from word pictures and see how detestable that word is. Illustrates how animals go and eat rotten, putrid flesh and then regurgitate that flesh, go away for a while, come back and eat that maggot, putrid flesh. Just as you're thinking about that, that's how God feels about it. Chapter 20 and verse 13, those that practice that cannot be saved. In the New Testament, that practice is condemned three times in Romans 1, 18 beginning. God gave them up. He says it's unnatural in Romans 1, 18 beginning. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who holds the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is best forever. For this cause God gave them up, there it again, unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That practice is condemned in all three dispensations. If we can't get by the practice, there is no need to argue about the marriage. Not only that, let me call your attention to something else. Did you not know that under the law and even the law of Christ, that certain dress was regulated? I want every Bible in here to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22. When you get to Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, I want you to look with me at verse number 5 forward. You'll find these words: thou shalt not wear that which is pertaining to a man, neither put on man's clothing. Brothers and sisters, so many times this passage has tried to be used to regulate women wearing breeches and pants. That is not what this passage is talking about. Up under that law, God wanted a difference between the sexes. Up under that law, you could not be, in contemporary terms today, a transvestite. There has to be a distinction between the sexes. Women must remain women and look like a woman. When women today are intentionally cutting all of their hair off to look like a man, when women today are injecting steroids in their muscles, walking around smoking cigars, being slouchy, you better be glad you weren't living up under that law. That's what the passage is talking about. There has to remain a difference between the sexes. Today the lines are so blurred that you really can't tell. We are in some trouble when you got something walking around on two legs and you don't know what it is. You had better be glad you weren't living up under that second dispensation law. I want to tell you something, friend. The Bible is right. And I know we love everybody. I've been coming here a long time and I know we're concerned. But we had better get back to the Bible, because when we hurt in home, we're going to hurt everywhere else. And when this behavior establishes homes and mess that home up, now you got a messed up self.
And that messed up self want to come to the church. And then want to mess the church up. But the church is supposed to be the light of the world. Then we go out there in the community and mess that up. But we have schools, we must be educated. Then we go to the schools and mess that up. We have neighborhoods and other functions that we are involved in. We go there and mess that up. But what about our state? Mess that up too. Now you got a messed up nation composed of messed up people, messed up school systems because of a messed up home. But it all started with a messed up self. That practice is condemned up under the New Testament. When we can just get this straight, there is no argument about same-sex marriages, friend. It's just not. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've given you 23 to 28 sins in chapter 1 of Romans 1. Let's look at 10 more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you know in verse 9, or know ye not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit heaven, the kingdom of God? Then there is going to be a list of 10 sins. I want to look at the fourth one. And that word, effeminate. What is that? Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that's the person that was born a male, but now allows himself to be used as a woman. That's that person that have the feminine gestures, has trained himself to talk like a woman, walk like a woman. That's that person that's using HGH, human growth hormones, in certain parts of his body. If we can just understand this, then we don't have to get to the marriage question. That practice was condemned, not only homosexuality, but even dress to be the opposite sex. It was condemned in the Old Testament. And it's condemned upon the law of Christ. When we think about that, then we are known how the home is to be established. Our homes need to be created as God will have them to be. Husband, wife, loving, tender, kind, forgiving, forbearance, patience, long-suffering, godliness, self-control. Every attribute of the word of Almighty God need to be applied to the marriage that God established. Our children need to understand from the time that they are babies, fourth graders, if not before, that when God established a home, he established it for no other purpose than for man's happiness. That's one man for one woman, from the marriage altar until the cemetery, until death separates it. Not until sin separates it, until death separates it. With that one exception, we read about in Matthew 19:9. I'll leave you with this. God established three divine institutions, the home being the oldest, government, and the church. We're seeing things that are being practiced
under the facade of marriage. It certainly disturbs me. It breaks my heart. To see sodomy that was once a crime in this United States. Now we have 14 states that has changed that law. And the rest of them, it's just a matter of time. What? Practicing that under the facade of marriage. 2013, 8 more states came forward. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Virginia wasn't far behind. Now, that was in 2013. 8 of those states came in 2013, and 4 of the 8 in the last 2 months. New Mexico and Nevada, New Mexico and Utah was the last one. And it's so very interesting, when Utah came in, there was 900 same-sex marriages that was performed in a 2-week span. It's the practice of purity, not the politics of party, friend. Let's make sure that our homes are what God would have them to be. You might be here tonight in this assembly. God has compared the home to the church. There are several different audiences during the first century world. Didn't have a good grasp on the one church. So the marriage was ran parallel. But we can understand the marriage. We can understand the one church. Having heard God's word, you can sit there and believe it. Make up in your mind that you're going to turn from things that are contrary to God's will. If you find your soul waiting in the balance and found wanting, this will supply your every need. Well, I want you to let your body be immersed in water. If you wandered back home, if you wandered far away, come back home while we sing, won't you come?